You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Welcome to the Roto Experts Saturday edition. Thank you for joining us right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Mike Blue, along with my co-host George Kurtz. We'll take you around the world of the NFL for the next couple of hours. Talk to you a little bit about what happened on Thursday night and certainly the news of the day. A relatively quiet week, I felt like, George, in the NFL regarding news. My cleats campaign is on today, so we can focus on some positive things when we're talking about the outside of the play of the players in the NFL. So we got something positive to talk about this week. I'll get into that in the next segment. But let's start by talking about your boys, the Dallas Cowboys. I know you told me you benched Dez Bryant in a couple of leagues the other night, and he actually ended up having an okay game. He goes 5 for 61 with a touchdown. But the real story was Alfred Morris and the Cowboys running game. It's back in business.
Yeah, thanks for trolling me in the first minute of the show. I appreciate
that.
Sorry,
bud.
Morris had a big game. Morris is actually, as far as rushing the ball, has done well. They just don't control the clock. At least they hadn't controlled the clock as well with Morris as they do with Elliott before Thursday night's game with Washington. So Morris has been a start. He's not scoring like Elliott does either. But other than that, he actually has done a solid job, actually a better than solid job as far as rushing totals are concerned.
Yeah, the averages were there, but you were getting like some 9 for 41s and things like that, to your point about them not controlling the clock. You know, the average yards per carry was fine, right? But they need to get up to 17 carries, and like they did the other night, 27 carries for Morris.
Correct. But you can tell by how many carries he's getting, how the yardage. Are they controlling the clock, keeping the ball away from the opposing team's offense, thus protecting that defense? That's been their formula for success. Dak Prescott still not playing very well. We had 100 yards passing on Thursday, so they've still got some issues there. But, you know, if you're a Cowboy fan, I am. You're more than likely not going to make the playoffs. Even if you win out, you may not make the playoffs. But it is there. You play the Giants next game, then the Raiders, and then what's likely to be could be a playoff game against Seattle. That could be a game whichever team wins gets in because of the tiebreaker situation there. And then the last game of the season, say, oh, you're playing Philadelphia. Well, that's a game Philadelphia's probably is likely not to play many people.
This is true. Seattle got some tough ones coming up, too. So they're going to be in a world of hurt, potentially, if the Rams extend the lead in that division between now and then. But we will get into this game a little bit more. As George said, Morris with a nice game. It's his first 100-yard game since January 3rd, 2015, and his highest yardage total since basically Thanksgiving of 2014, so a full 3 years since he had seen a game like this. I thought they started off the game really poorly with 3-3 and outs, and you're like, here we go again. But Washington did their best to give the ball back and make sure that Dallas got into a groove. It's Mike and George. We'll be back after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
On the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, we are the Roto Experts, and you can hit us up today if you want to reach out to us. Lineup questions at the ever important week 13, George. It's the end of the regular season for a vast majority of fantasy football leagues out there, so Well, why don't you give me a sense of if you need any winning in type of scenarios? Because I got people texting me, tweeting me, all that kind of stuff, where they tell me this week it's really important that you get it right. I'm trying to get it right every week. I'm just letting you know, like, I didn't mail it in the other 12 weeks. So I appreciate that it's more important to you, but I am trying to get it right every week.
Yeah, I do love those questions, don't you? Hey, it's really important
really
to get it right
to win this week.
You're right, buddy, because I didn't care the other 12 weeks. I was just, you know, flipping coins.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what week it is. I'm generally always trying to get it right, you know, so I enjoy that. It does make me give a little chuckle. Oh, yeah, you're right, buddy. I was mailing it, and I didn't give a crap. But, yeah, it's important. Obviously, if this week means something to you, it means, at the very least, it means seeding. But it probably means you need a win to get in. So, yeah, I have some scenarios like that. Also, I think in the one league, the Joe and Joe, the two quarterback league, I think it's only top four teams make the playoffs. So although you trolled me about Dez Bryant and that's the league where I did the Dez Bryant thing, I don't think it matters for me. I don't think I can get it anyway. Even if I win, I'd be 7-6. And I don't think that would get me in. Maybe
I'm
some weird
clinched,
tie-breaking
scenarios. I clinched the division, I think. I have like a 2-3 game lead in the division there. So I've gotten somewhat lucky in that league, but I think that's a one where I don't have anything riding on it. I got bounced from our Dynasty League playoffs, George. First time in 6 years I didn't make it. Or did you get in?
Yeah, I'm in. I'm playing Dempsey, Mike Dempsey. So
he's got a good team.
Yeah, I know. I'm probably going out here, but and I have some way too many freaking injuries. But hey, you know, you're in. It's that league. Obviously, it's week 12 was the last week of the regular season because it's a 32-team league. So not only do you have to win your conference, then week 16 you end up playing the winner of the other conference. I lost in the finals last year, Mike.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. But it's a good run. It's a really competitive league. I had tons of points in it, and just I'd call it a little bit of bad luck because I ended up going 6-6, and I think I outscored everybody in my division but one guy. So I do have a win and in, and it started off a win and in game with Jamison Crowder, which was not a great start. My opponent had Dez Bryant, but he benched Alfred Morris. So I feel like I got away with a little bit there because Alfred Morris had a really nice game with 127 and the score. Dez, 5-for-61 on the touchdown. We mentioned Dak earlier, 2 touchdowns. He had the 28 rushing yards. Nothing to write home about passing, right? 11-of-22 for 102, George. And they're still struggling to get the passing offense going.
No, Dak was bad. I mean, his accuracy was off again. The big problem with Dallas, passing game, at least part of the problem, besides Elliott not being there, is there's no speed on that offense. And they just, Dez obviously lost a step. The surgeries and now the leg injuries have taken its toll on him. Not that he's ever a speed burner anyway, but he's not that guy anymore. Jason Witten, I love him, Hall of Famer. He's 35 years old and plotting. Terrence Williams, the opposite wide receiver, has never really been a speed guy. You know, Bryce Butler, you know, the speed guys are really, you know, the slot guys, Cole Beasley, Switzer whenever he plays, or Switzer with the punt return, but they're not very good wide receivers. So Dallas, that's going to be an issue in the offseason as well, getting some speed on that offense.
Switzer, a nice kick return the other night where he was barely touched. He wasn't even touched on his way to the end zone. So I totally agree with you. I think that is an issue. I think Dak has been, I don't want to say Dak is exposed because it's a little too harsh, but I think we realize that, you know, he wasn't going to be the guy that he was last year for the entirety of his career. He's still got some things to work on. Are some things going to fix themselves when Elliott comes back in? Sure. But there are still issues to improve upon beyond the fact that Zeke Elliott is missing right now. So let's go over to the Washington side of things. Because, as I said earlier, Dallas started the game with 3-3 and outs, but Washington kept giving them the ball back. Jamison Crowder, as we talked about during the break, had a brutal game. He drops a pass on their first drive where they were driving down deep. He would have potentially had a chance to score, but nonetheless, the ball goes off his hands and into the hands of Jeff Heath, who picks up an interception. So that's a turnover for Cousins. And then they come back, they 3-and-out Dallas, and then Crowder fumbles a punt. Dallas gets it back, and they 3-and-out Dallas again. But still, they were just giving the ball back. Cousins with another 2 interceptions. The fumbles are just ridiculous. Now, at the end of the day, George, and Crowder on the night, by the way, he goes 5-of-67 on the seven targets, and the one target was his fault interception. Ryan Grant goes 5 of 76 and a touchdown. Josh Doctson, 3 of 26 and a touchdown. Samaje Perine was a bust. He had left the game due to concussion protocol. In PPR leagues, he gives you a little bit, but 3 catches for 31 yards goes with 12 carries for 38 yards. They had nothing going. But here's the big story for me the other night beyond Alfred Morris. Kirk Cousins goes 26 of 37, 251, 2 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. One interception, clearly not his fault. I just detailed it with Crowder. But there is a very much two camps. There's probably two camps in the Washington organization. There were two camps in the NFL network guys breaking it down the other night because Rich Eisen and Michael Irvin are trying to defend Cousins, saying, hey, look, the guy was 26 of 37. People are dropping passes for him. They can't get lined up right on defense. They had a 13 men on the field penalty, George. 13. I've never seen that before. They're fumbles. They're making special teams mistakes, giving up touchdowns there. And people are saying, this is not Cousins' fault. He's doing everything he can to play. He's under pressure. But at the same time, you had – so Rich Eisen and Mike Irvin are defending him, and then Steve Smith and Marshall Faulk are saying, this is on him. He's not playing sharp. That interception was his fault, not Jamison Crowder's, because he threw it too high. I set up a lot there. I set up a lot for you there, but there's two camps on Cousins, and I think we know why, because these big games, he continues to fall flat.
Well, the interception is on Jamison Crowder. All right, you got both hands on the ball. I'm sorry, the ball wasn't right at his numbers, and so that's why it's not – I mean, you got both hands on the ball. You didn't even have to reach that hard. That is on Jamison Crowder. All right, that's BS that it's on Cousins. I think the problem is this. Everyone's looking at Cousins and thinking, oh, he should not be the highest-paid player in the game. Should be the highest-paid quarterback. Yeah, that's true. But one has nothing to do with the other. He's going to be the highest-paid quarterback because that he's a free agent at the right time. Next year – somebody else will be at that mantle. And then it'll go on and on. That's just the way it is in the NFL.
So yeah, it's already changed twice this year. It was Derek Carr, and then it was Matt Stafford.
Yeah, so people have to forget about the fact he's the highest paid player. That's just the way it is. The question is he can he play quarterback? Is he at least a good quarterback? And the answer is yes. Where's Washington going to be if they don't pay him? I don't see them franchising him for, what was it, $34 million? Yeah. So I don't see that happening. That's another $9 million. It's another 2-3 players you got to cut from your team. So I don't see that happening. So either you give him the long-term contract, which is going to be about $25 million a year with, you know, $60, $75 million guarantee, whatever it is. And yes, it's an obscene amount of money, but that's the way it is in the NFL. You just have to forget about it. You either wrap your head around it or just let it go. And where's Washington? Is Colt McCoy going to be the quarterback? They've won enough games now where they're not going to be a top 10 pick. So you're not going to get one of the very good quarterbacks unless you want to give up future draft picks again like you did for Robert Griffin and hamstring your team that way. So I don't see how you can't pay Cousins. But it doesn't matter because if the Redskins don't, Cousins will go to, I don't know, Jets, 49ers are still going to be in play, Jacksonville. He'll go to one of these teams and he'll be the quarterback there and get the money. So Cousins is fine. He may be happier if the Redskins don't pay his way. He gets to choose where he wants to go.
Yeah, but he will definitely have plenty of offers.
He'll be in huge demand here. So it's just silly. Cousins is not perfect. I'm not defending and saying he's the greatest quarterback. He's not. I am defending that the interception was Crowder's fault. That's ridiculous. The wide receiver to say that it's not that was not Cousins' fault is just ridiculous.
It always rings hollow to me when a former Diva wide receiver is criticizing the placement of the ball in that instance. But they were saying that he had previously, in the previous week, he had put Crowder in a position where he got lit up in on a pass like that, and leading him like that is going to give a guy alligator arms because he thinks it's going to happen again. That he wasn't
get
led,
over it. You're a professional wide receiver. There's no one near you.
So I tend to agree with you. But his QBR the other night, and I know some people don't love that metric, but it was 13.8, which means he's not really making the throws at the good throws at the right time. It does seem to be a pattern of in big games, they're not coming out ahead on these. Even though statistically, very often Cousins games look good, they're not winning a lot of these big ones. And in prime time, he just seems to be snake bitten somehow. Again, I'm not putting that loss on Kirk Cousins. I thought it was a disaster for them. The special teams touchdown, 13 men on the field, George. I've never seen that. It was brutal. They just had no idea what they were doing on that play, and that was at a critical juncture of the game. We'll come back. We'll talk about injuries and news and notes and all that good stuff on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product. We're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Like I said earlier, if you want to hit us up on Twitter, please do so at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. George is at George Kurtz. It's K-U-R-T-Z. And give us a call later this hour, 844-843-6879. So, George, we continue along with the news and notes of the day. So Michael Crabtree and Aqib Talib got into a fight. We saw that last week. It was kind of ridiculous because it happened in the first 3 minutes of the game. They were then suspended two games and it was reduced to one. That seems pretty reasonable to me, you know?
I had no problem with the two games. You know, no problem at all for this action. Once again, second time these guys have done this, at least the second time. It was certainly out of hand, a big-time brawl here. It seems like they both knew it was coming. He, I mean, cleated it, snatches the chain again. Crabtree had it taped to his body so he couldn't do it. I mean, why not just not wear a chain? So I had no – they could have spent it for the rest of the season. It wouldn't have bothered me.
Yeah, it was foolish. I mean, Mike Crabtree put his team in a really tough spot, and it's an even tougher spot because of Amari Cooper's concussion, and he'll be out this week. So you have both of those Raiders wide receivers on the sidelines, and Seth Roberts ends up being a pretty interesting or popular, at least, waiver wire pickup if people need it. But, you know, we are talking about week 13 here. Are you going to insert Seth Roberts into a must-win playoff scenario?
That's the problem. People say, oh, you play him. Yeah, but, man, you got to have some stones here to do it. Week 13, I know it's against the Giants. Janoris Jenkins out for the year with the ankle surgery. So the secondary is a little depleted here. But still, you want to put Seth Roberts in this game? Ballsy. I mean, I'm having trouble playing Derek Carr this week, more or less putting in Seth Roberts. It all comes down to roster construction here, but there's no way I can advise you to start Seth Roberts.
Yeah, I picked him up. I picked him up in one spot, and I don't think I'm going to be using him. So it was just one of those. I'm not playing the other guy. Let me just kind of evaluate this as the week goes. Now, obviously, Cooper being declared out makes it more interesting because he's effectively the number one target. But you would think that they're not necessarily just going to load up Seth Roberts with a bunch of targets, that they'll try and run Marshawn Lynch into the ground and keep the, you know, ball control it against the Giants team, which is obviously in tons of turmoil and everything else.
Yeah, I have no problem. I mean, no problem with anybody picking him up. Just for defensive purposes, keep him away from your opponent. Maybe they need a wide receiver, so screw them.
That's the reason
over.
I did it.
Right. I have no problem with that at all. Listen, there's more than one way to win a fantasy league. Sometimes you got to play some defense there. You could be decimated. Maybe you have Crabtree and Cooper on your team, so you don't, you know, your options are limited here. But to start Roberts, I think it would be ballsy. Like I said, I definitely think there's a lot of guts there to do it. That's not to say you can't win with him, but nobody truly knows how this is going to work out. How's it going to be now that he's the number one guy? You know, going up against the number one cornerback. A lot of folks are the attention of a defense. I read it the same way as you. I think it's going to be a lot. Big Marshawn Lynch game.
Which is a bummer because I cut the one league where I drafted him, I cut him, and now he's actually shown some value here in the last few weeks. So Jameis Winston is back. That's obviously a storyline for us to talk about. He's going to be going up against Green Bay against Brett Hundley, who obviously he played really well against the Steelers the other night. Man, I would have bet my life on the Steelers playing down to the Packers last Sunday night, and they sure as heck they did it, and they escaped with the win despite a -3 turnover ratio. But Brett Hundley looked pretty good.
He did. He actually looked very good. Interesting to see what happens here with Hundley against Tampa Bay. A defense is not very good. I'm not starting Hundley. You know, I don't do it in the two quarterback league, sure. But in a one quarterback league, he's not going to be in my top 12. I assume you can do better. Jameis Winston is also interesting because Green Bay has no defense, no secondary. It's bad. So, I can see people thinking, well, maybe I'll throw him in there. Yeah, I would start going Winston over Carr. I would start Winston over Mariota, which is, something there. But, Stafford.
Totally bummed me out because I have Mariota in the must win situation.
Now, Mario's been terrible. I mean, he's so inconsistent. He's got a good matchup. I'm starting him in the league as well. He's got a good matchup against Houston. But Winston against Green Bay, it's ripe here for a good game. Certainly he'd be an automatic if he'd been playing all year. The fact is, but he's been out a couple of games. Is he going to be rusty? So it is a pain here. Plus, I don't know what the weather's like in Green Bay. I mean, it's going to be brutally cold tomorrow. So you worry about
that
somewhat.
Check that during the break, yep.
But, yeah, so I have some interest in Winston here. With Hundley, Jordy Nelson is 4,400 on DK. I mean, come on, man. Is this going to be the week they realize they have Jordy Nelson on his team? Can Hundley find him? Can it happen, Mike?
Anytime a player gets that low on DraftKings or on any DFS site, you got to do it. You just have to do it because he's not priced according to his talent level. So you just try to exact some sort of value out of that. Well, it's 45 degrees and clear tomorrow for Bucks-Packers.
So weather's not a problem.
No, it's all right. That's pretty good. The Bucks lucked out there. So, yeah, you're going to be worried about Jameis' shoulder, right? He's coming back off the injury. Is he fine? Is he finally healthy? You would assume so, but, he's got to knock some rust off during game time. So all you Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson owners hope he comes right out firing, and great matchup for those guys, but you can't do it with a ton of confidence. So Jameis is back, and that could be a kind of an interesting game and could impact obviously plenty of your playoff scenarios. Another suspension that popped up, Charles Johnson of the Carolina Panthers, suspended 4 games. I know you're like, why are you talking about defensive linemen? I'm just letting you know how it could impact games potentially in a very big matchup. Carolina and New Orleans, you could argue it's the biggest matchup of the weekend regarding playoff impact. Vikings play the Falcons as well, so that's another big one. But Charles Johnson out for 4 games puts a little bit more heat on the front seven in Carolina, George.
Yeah, I mean, listen, credit to Johnson. At least he came out and admitted he did it, that he made a mistake, rather than the old, oh, I didn't know what I took was illegal, which is just complete BS. Yeah. So, get some points there. But, yes, it could impact the game. Maybe they don't get quite the pressure on Drew Brees they were hoping for.
So the next thing I wanted to talk about, I just had a thought in my head and it totally escaped me. Oh, I know what it was, the Mariota thing. You were talking about how bad he is. So I read a really interesting article about Mariota's progress. It was earlier this week. I read it on ESPN about Mariota's seeming regression this year. And he hasn't played well. He's got 9 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. You detail that he's not really playing. He's been inconsistent. But what was pretty interesting, first of all, they're hitting kind of a soft spot in the schedule. Although he didn't tear it up against the Colts last week, they're playing Houston.
You're not going to get no softer than the Colts.
I agree. And he didn't exactly tear it up. But what was interesting is that there's a thought process that they may not be utilizing him correctly. They try to do the smash mouth with the two running backs, and that's been kind of a mess for fantasy owners. Not kind of a mess for fantasy owners, especially Derrick Henry owners, because he seems to be running better, but he doesn't get any more carries than DeMarco Murray gets. But in play action, Mariota is on the year. His quarterback rating is near perfect, where he's got 7 touchdowns, no interceptions. Under center, no play action, 2 touchdowns, 11 picks. So, and the completion percentage is far worse. So there's a thought process that maybe they need to get some play action going a little bit more because the Titans have run the ball well historically. The offensive line in the last couple of years, the offensive line actually has not played up to their lofty expectations. Last year, they graded out as number one, number two offensive line in the league, according to Pro Football Focus. So they have not played at that level this year. We'll see what they can get done here in the last month, but I'm just wondering if there could be a little bit of light for Mariota owners as we go into the playoffs. I made the mistake of just hitching my wagon to Mariota in that one league. I never really made a change. I thought he would, you know, you and I are both pretty patient owners, George, and I just thought Mariota would self-correct, and it hasn't happened. Against the Colts, he didn't really light it up. He's 184 passing yards. Now they're playing Houston. Then they go to Arizona. Then they go to the Niners, and then they play the Rams. So the schedule sets up okay. I don't love him playing the Cardinals, but the schedule sets up okay if you're going to try and make a run here through the playoffs, but it's got to turn around quickly.
Yeah, once again, you can with these stats, you can make anything sound good. Mario, you watch him play, he's been bad. Yeah. And you could say all you want, though, it's the running game's fault. And listen, Malarkey's got some blame in this as well for him not going to Derrick Henry. I mean, you look at DeMarco Murray. He's old and slow. Maybe there's an injury going on there, but he's not the same back, and it is hurting the play action. And, yes, they should go to Derrick Henry as the starter. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Still not the excuse for some of the interceptions that Mariota's thrown, you know, right to the other team. I mean, so it's been sort of a it's been an ongoing issue there with Mariota. I think, like I said, you could blame Milwaukee for some of it in the offense, sure, but he's regressed some. Well, whatever that reason is, if it's the injuries, they're not running him as much, maybe he doesn't have that extra burst, that extra step, whatever it might be, he's not the same quarterback right now. Maybe he gets back to it next year, but this year it's not happening. That being said, you said the schedule. It is a soft schedule. It does look good. It's hard to sit him. The league I have is a two-quarterback league, so I can't sit him. I have to go with him. But in a one-quarterback league, I probably would have benched him weeks ago.
Yeah, I just never did. I just kept riding it out. I was like, he'll be fine. And ultimately, he's put up some dud games. So the good news about it, too, though, is that he's honest about it. He knows he's overthrowing passes like we saw in the Pittsburgh game a couple of weeks ago. He knows he's overthrowing passes. He has to fix it. I just sort of liked the overall tenor of the article where he knows that he's making some mistakes. He's got to tighten it up. He's not oblivious to it, and he's not shooing away reporters that are being critical of him. So anyway, we'll talk about injuries, get into that a little bit, how they can impact games when we come back. I'll talk a little bit about the My Cleats campaign, which I think is pretty cool, and one player in particular I want to talk about when we come back. So it's Mike and George. We're the Roto Experts. Back after the break.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network talking about the NFL. George and I, we're going through the news of the week. It's a relatively slow news week. I mean, that's compared to the other nonsense that we've been dealing with for the last 3 months. So I feel pretty good that we got to talk about just regular football stories. Although, it is the My Cause, My Cleats campaign. You're going to see a lot of players this weekend, saw on Thursday night, wearing cleats with this particular cause on it. And one that I wanted to talk about, just because it affects me personally, is Bilal Powell. Just wanted to give him a shout out because he's wearing cleats that are dedicated to beating colon cancer. Now, my sister actually suffered from colon cancer in the last 18 months or so. She's recovered. She's cancer-free. And I went to an event the other night, and they talked a little bit about it, and they're going to be auctioning off his cleats in order to raise money for the awareness of colon cancer, getting colonoscopies. And I would encourage anybody out there that's of a certain age, 40 and up, to get a colonoscopy. I've had it because of family history now with my sister. And I just think it's a cool thing that these players get to express themselves in this way. George, there's been a lot of consternation and disagreement and protesting the NFL for protesting over the course of the last few months. It's nice to be able to focus on some positive causes. The players get to express themselves in a certain way, and everybody can kind of get behind a charitable cause.
Yeah, the cause is great. The causes, I should say, for whatever you're doing for the Cause for Cleats campaign. Personally, I don't really care all that much. I'm not that we're staring at people's shoes. All right. Yes. I mean, I guess some will stand out where you'll notice, but I'm just not that type. I don't care. I won't care about the shoes. I don't care about celebrations. I mean, to me, it's just idiotic. I watch so many games anyway. As soon as the score is made, I'm not waiting around to see if they're going to play Duck, Duck, Goose. All right, I'm going to the next game here. To me, a lot of this is all silly here. I do think the NFL is, Jerry Glanville, the not for fun league a couple of decades ago. I think there's truth in that, and may good for them for lighting up a little bit. But overall, I just don't care.
I know exactly what you mean, like the human interest stories and all that kind of stuff. It sort of gets. You get overwhelmed by it when you and I are sort of diving into the nitty gritty of the games. That I understand. In this instance, you know, they're having some fun with it. I like the fact they're giving a chance to players to express themselves. But I just wanted to highlight that because Bilal Powell happened to be working for a cause that is near and dear to his heart and mine. So let's talk about the injuries, the fun part of the show. Kelvin Benjamin going to be missing his second straight game with a knee injury. I don't think there's necessarily a specific timetable. They're trying to give him a shot to return next week, but that's not guaranteed. So Kelvin Benjamin will be out. Tyrod Taylor missing him as a target. Dallas Cowboys defensive back Orlando Scandrick suffered two transverse process fractures in his back the other night, George. He's likely to miss a couple of games.
Well, Dallas has the 11 days off, so I think he'll miss the Giant game, and that's not a, I mean, not the rude, but that's not a big deal. Giants have no quarterback. Geno Smith, are you kidding me? By the way, that'd be a pretty big news story. Geno.
I was going to save Geno it for Smith the next there. Segment. We probably should have talked about it, but I was going to save it for the last segment.
Really? I mean, it's not. No one's talked about it all week, you know? Eli Manning being benched. Newsflash. I guess Dallas could survive there. Then they'll play Oakland after that. I'm assuming Cooper and Crabtree will be back by then. So I guess they're probably hoping to have Crabtree back in that 18 to 20-day window.
Yeah, so I'll run through all the ones where players are out. Amari Cooper out with a concussion. Chris Hogan still out with a shoulder. I mentioned Kelvin Benjamin. Ty Montgomery is done for the year. So you can release him if you are hanging on to him, but it really means more about the Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones. Because Aaron Jones has been practicing, it means more about what kind of carries or workload we're going to see there. I think, unfortunately for Jamal Williams owners, Aaron Jones is going to take some of these carries away, George.
Yeah, this is the problem because we don't know how they're going to use both. I mean, this comes down to the big game for Jamal Williams versus the Steelers on Sunday night. So everybody and their mother wants to put him in their lineup against a weaker, much weaker Tampa Bay defense at home. And then you throw in Aaron Jones. I mean, I'm a Jamal Williams owner in a couple of leagues. It's annoying, to put it nicely, because it's running back. I have to start him because I'm just generally not very deep there, especially with some of the other injuries that have happened. But what do you do now? I mean, because no one knows. Is Aaron Jones going to get a full complement of snaps? I'm not saying touches, but snaps. He'll be in there half the time. Is he going to play? Is he going to be limited? Is he just a backup? We don't know. You know, I have to think that Williams gets first shot here, but Jones was impressive when he played.
I agree.
He looked good, too. So there's some problems here, Mike. I have to admit, I'm worried. If I had to choose between both of them, I would choose Williams.
I probably would, too, just because of the hot hand approach. But at the same time, McCarthy's got to be thinking, every time I put these guys in, they get hurt. So why don't I just share the ball equally?
He could be thinking that, but generally that doesn't work all that well. I mean, you have to go with one guy and give the other guy a smattering of touches here. That's why I think it'll be Williams. I think the bigger, I'm hoping, and this may be being optimistic, looking on the bright side, but I'm hoping that next week is the bigger problem. You know, when Jones is fully back, he won't be limited. Assuming neither one gets hurt this week, and then it becomes more of a RBBC thing. I'm hoping this week, though, it's the hot hand approach. It's still Williams, and I think if it is, I think Williams will do well because, let's face it, that Tampa Bay defense, not good.
Yeah, and I think next week is Cleveland, too. So they have Tampa and Cleveland, two very winnable games before there are rumors that Aaron Rodgers may come back in week 15. You cannot throw dirt on the Packers yet. Stranger things have happened. If they ripped off the last five, it wouldn't be crazy. So
they're not going to the playoffs, folks.
I don't think so. Well,
they have the same problems as I just mentioned about the Cowboys earlier. They would need two of Seattle, Atlanta, Carolina to fall apart.
Seattle could happen. Seattle's got some really tough games.
I think Seattle's one of those teams. So they actually need Carolina or Atlanta to fall apart. And they do play
Atlanta's
each other.
Atlanta's playing, too, so hot right now.
It's just not going to be, because you got to win all those games. Green Bay's not a great team at all. Come on. Would you be shocked next week if Cleveland wins?
No.
Neither would I.
It would not shock me.
I'm not saying they would, but they will. But I wouldn't be shocked if they do. I would be like, oh, my God, they beat the Green Bay Packers. Oh, they finally got their first win. Green Bay has played like crap since Rodgers lost. They have no defense. I mean, none.
Yeah.
You know, so they have issues all over the place. So
the positive is that they look good against the Steelers. Maybe they can keep that rolling along. But, you know, you go back 1 week earlier, and they got shut out at home by the Ravens. So moving on, Adrian Peterson is a game-time decision. So DJ Foster, a popular pickup. Again, in a Week 13 matchup, you got to have some stones to be playing DJ Foster over whomever your
But, you know, I can see that because it's running
back. Yeah, if you had Peterson, yes.
Right, because you might get screwed. There's not enough running backs to go around. When we talk about Seth Roberts earlier, that's completely different. There are plenty of wide receivers. But I could see you having to. Not that I'm recommending it. I'm not. And as you said, I wouldn't have the stones to do it. I'd probably go with somebody else. But I still can see. I can understand why you'd have to.
Yeah. Antonio Brown had a minor injury. He's going to play for the Steelers.
A little bad toe.
Against the Bengals. When is that game? Oh, that's Monday night. So, and a bunch of guys didn't practice for the Steelers. Joe Hayden, Ryan Shazier, James Harrison, Vance McDonald, Michael Mitchell. You're just going to have to keep an eye on it. The Ryan Shazier is the big one there. And if he's hurt, the Steelers got a lot of problems. But he came off the field the other night and went back in after a few plays. So I think he'll be all right, but we'll see. Matt Forte, questionable for Sunday's game. A big injury here defensively. Atlanta Falcons cornerback Desmond Trufant has a concussion. He's out for Sunday's game. He would likely line up over Stephon Diggs. So that is a tasty matchup right there, George.
Yeah, it is. And I think it does, Trufant being out does give a rise to Diggs, gives Case Keenum, I think, oh my God, he's in my top 12. I think he gets a boost as well. I actually almost played Keenum in the Millionaire Maker. I think I changed my mind at the last minute. But, I mean, it lets you know what's going on there, you know, that you can start Keenum there. I think this is going to be I don't think Minnesota's going to have problems scoring points here. The question is, will Atlanta be able to do the same?
Tight end Carolina Panthers tight end Greg Olsen and running back Christian McCarthy are both questionable. I think we're leaning towards them playing. They're banged up, getting a little bit of rest during the week from practices, but I think they're likely to be back. Miami Dolphins running back Damian Williams will not play, which means Kenyon Drake is getting all the touches against the Broncos. Now, the Broncos have been very good against running backs, but Kenyon Drake is a volume play, if nothing else, George.
Yeah, he is. He's put the ball on the ground a lot, but there's a good chance the Dolphins are only going into this game with two running backs. So he may be able to put the ball on the ground 10 times and it won't matter. You know, they just don't have enough backs to go around there because Senorese Perry is in the concussion protocol, unlikely to pass by the time that game comes around. It's the 1 o'clock game on Sunday. So it's Kenyon Drake a bust, not the greatest matchup, but for the volume alone, you're likely starting him. You know, you mentioned Greg Olsen. I think we need to talk about him a little bit.
Yeah.
Any way you can start him?
So I did in my Dynasty League last week, didn't work out, and I did in Scott Fishbowl, and it didn't work out.
It didn't work out.
Yeah, right. So I'm playing him in Scott Fishbowl. I'm playing him in one league, and in my other league, my third league where I have him, I'm benching him.
Yeah, I think the leagues you mentioned, the Scott Fishbowl and the Dynasty League, I'm talking about regular standard 10, 12-team leagues.
It's really hard to do.
point and a half for a tight end, and the Dynasty League, you know, we have to make some strange decisions there because it's a 16-team league. So those
anytime a player has a snap count issue looming over his head, George, you should be out.
Yeah, I think you're nuts to start him this week, unless you have no other options here. He's the kind of player where I needed to see him play a full game and play effectively before I would even put him in my lineup. So I wanted nothing to do with him last week. I think I want even less to do with him this week. He's barely practiced. So I'm going to need to see him play a full game first. I'd be okay. You know, if he gets two touchdowns on Sunday, fine. I think the right move is to sit him here and then play him next week here. And I think it's more likely, though, that he ends up being close to a bust again on Sunday.
I think you're probably right. Amir Abdullah's banged up. Saints defender still banged up. That's about it. Running back Mike Davis is going to play for the Seahawks. So there you got some good news there. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit of Eli Manning finally. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So, Eli Manning, George. I joked the other day how many segments we're going to do on Eli. Well, we're going to do this one. And here's just general thoughts. For those of you out there that are try to be pragmatic, as I do in these situations, and say, look, the guy is a 36-year-old, about to be 37-year-old quarterback. He hasn't played well the last few years. A lot of careers end this way, and he can expect to be benched. Here's what I'll say. The particulars matter in this case. Whether you're talking about the streak, or more importantly, the way it was handled, it matters. And you don't just, if you're John Mara, the owner, you don't let the coach that you know everybody in the world knows is going to be fired handle the benching and then handle the press conferences, which is the single thing he is worst at in this world, at that job. And he botched it publicly. He botched it privately. You have now your one of your all-time greats upset with the organization and probably begging to get out now so he can go play somewhere else. And we can talk about those landing spots in a minute. So that's my initial reaction, George. I'll hand it over to you.
All right. It seems to me the same people who are complaining about how this worked out were calling for him to be benched a month ago. And this goes to the fans, the media. I mean, it's sort of ridiculous to me. It wasn't handled well. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It wasn't handled well, but it was the right thing to do for the organization. I mean, I'm actually more shocked that it's Geno Smith taking over.
Well, that is part of it, though, George. It shouldn't be.
But it's not. Because we don't. Maybe Smith has looked good. You know, whatever it is, that's really the biggest surprise to me, that it's Geno Smith taking over. Maybe Smith has looked good and they feel they got it, that we got to take a look at this guy, see what he's got. You know, maybe they don't feel Webb is quite ready yet, which I think really would raise some other warning flags if he's not ready after all the time he's had with the organization. But maybe they feel that's it as well. I don't really have an issue with it. Eli, I mean, the streak means nothing to me. You know, that's over. It's done. If you can't play, you can't play. You need to move on. You need to judge. So like we said with other teams, when Buffalo went to Peterman. Now, Peterman obviously wasn't ready. You know, and he shouldn't have been in there. So that was a sort of a different situation there. But if Webb is ready, then you need to find out if this guy has any future with this team, because the Giants are going to have, at the very least, a top 10 pick next year, maybe a top 5, maybe a top 3. So you need to know what you need to do. Do we absolutely have to take a quarterback here? Yeah, they need to know this in the organization here, and it's a season that's lost. I understand you owe some reverence to Eli Manning for what he's done. I get it. But in the end, he's been paid for that. The organization moves on. You know, look at all the stuff with Derek Jeter with the Yankees. All the fans love Jeter, yet they all hate what happened in his last year where the Yankees gave him a year to play out, still bats first or second, play shortstop. And Yankees, all years on, he was tired. Same thing here. Fans can say all they want, but if they would have, if the Yankees would have benched Jeter, they would have been all up in arms about that as well. I think this is sort of a no-win situation for the organization.
I just think people are talking about his play and that everybody should expect this. And they can just move on to somebody else. Like, there have been times in the last 5 years, George, and the Chargers have not exactly been a model organization, and nobody's talking about benching Phillip Rivers when he led the league in interceptions twice and he was turning the ball over left and right. And I didn't blame him. I was a guy defending Phillip Rivers. I'm just saying there are other guys.
That's apples and oranges, though, because Rivers
now the Chargers are good.
Fine otherwise. Eli Manning's looked bad for years. I mean, years. I mean, he looks like a guy, I've said it many times, including on this show, that he doesn't want to get hit. He throws off his back foot, throws early sometimes. He's had too many hits over the years. You see that in veteran quarterbacks. I don't blame him for that. I wouldn't want to get hit either. But we're seeing it now where he's trying to avoid that. When you're younger, you sort of don't mind tickle. You're standing in the pocket now. He's not that same quarterback anymore.
I mean, he used to hang in there a little bit, but certainly the last 2 years in particular, he's chucking and ducking, no doubt.
It's time to move on. It really is. Maybe he does some damage with a better defense, like a Jacksonville Jaguars, where he can play ball control. But from the Giants, I think it is done.
I think so, too. We'll come back. We'll reset the hour and talk more of the games after the break.